Wildfires and technology. There's still a lot of work to do.
The complexity of fire, it's something that I feel like we're only learning more about and learning that we're having less predictive capability lately.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Ollie Wood. Across America in 2017, it was a terrible year for wildfires. Millions of acres burned in Montana, Oklahoma, Florida, Texas, Oregon, Washington, and many other states. And here in California, of course, the worst season on record killed 44 people and burned thousands of homes and businesses in wine country. And in Los Angeles right now, efforts to contain the Thomas Fire are in their second week. Technology, so prevalent in our lives, can only do so much to help. Brandon Collins is a research scientist at UC Berkeley's Center for Fire Research and Outreach. I asked him what kinds of technology are helping with understanding wildfires.
One of the more recent ones is LIDAR, and that is short for light detection and ranging. It's a sensor, it's called an active sensor, that sends light pulses, usually from an aircraft, that penetrate the forest canopy. And the time that it takes for those light pulses to hit something in the forest and then bounce back up to the sensor is has been related to the height of the vegetation that it's hitting. So what it's allowed for is a really neat characterization of the forest, and from a fire standpoint, really trying to describe the arrangement and the quantity of fuel in the forest. It's kind of weird sometimes to think about trees and shrubs as fuel, but from a fire standpoint, that's really what they are.
And I have to assume there are some drones in there too.
Yeah, the drone stuff is really just kind of on the experimental side of things, but it kind of looks promising, where we've been able to fly pretty close to the tops of tree canopies and really, from a detailed standpoint, map the vegetation or the fuel. And we're going to follow that up by running the same flights again 1 year after doing prescribed burning. We can look at how fuel and vegetation was consumed in those prescribed fires. And then one other application we've had with drones is to sample the smoke that we've generated in doing prescribed fires. We actually had a crew that was flying their drone right into the plumes of smoke. It was, I think, successful, at least from a sampling standpoint, to gather the information.
So it sounds like a lot of this is about sort of diagnosing the conditions on the ground, right? So that you can better treat the fire, just to go full medical on it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's actually a term that we use quite a bit. We use this term treatments, and we call them fuel treatments, to get a sense of, okay, what's the condition of the vegetation and fuel, and how can we change that to reduce some of the hazard associated with wildfire?
And then how much of the work is predictive? Do you gather a bunch of data and try to figure out what a fire is going to do then?
We do, and we're not great at
it.
The complexity of fire, it's something that I feel like we're only learning more about and learning that we're having less predictive capability lately. We're seeing some behavior of fires that we just can't, that flat out, at least with some of the existing models that we use, we can't predict. Our fire behavior prediction models were built in wind tunnels, largely with known fuel beds. And so we're, really kind of existed at a small spatial scale.
Mm-hmm. Firefighting seems to, be a job, obviously, where people on the ground is really important, despite being incredibly dangerous. Do you see that changing? Do you see firefighting robots in the future?
No, frankly. I mean, someone might tell you something different, but I don't. And I just think there are too many factors that have to be made with those really local and on-site, at that moment type of decision, that I'm not sure we can sort of program that into some kind of other technology.
That's Brandon Collins from UC Berkeley's Center for Fire Research and Outreach. We've got a LIDAR visualization of a forest in Northern California on our website if you'd like to see it. That's marketplace.org. And yesterday on the program, we talked to FCC Chairman Ajit Pai ahead of the agency's vote on net neutrality today. Don't worry, we will have analysis of that vote on the program tomorrow. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Thanks for listening to Marketplace Tech. Here is an investment opportunity for you with a guaranteed return. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You also help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust. So don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.